Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 The Yakuza Kick Radio!
This is the bulldozer Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Abbott, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick Radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it. Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope for this cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black D.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
It is Saturday, September 28, 2013. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. Now, as everybody knows out there that listens to the show, I normally do the show on Wednesday. I put it off yet again. I've been kicking around a bunch of different things. Actually, 2 weeks from today is my big race. So, I'm gearing up for that. And I really didn't have a lot of other things to talk about than the NFL, which there's no problem with. But now that I've moved it to Saturday for this week, I've brought on a excellent guest, and welcome to the show at this time, Christian Simpson of the Daily Blitz. What's going on, Christian?
J-Cat Morris. What's going on, man? How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Just hanging out by the fires, ready to talk some football.
Hey, that's the life, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I figure, we'll go over last week's games and, get into some picks later on and do the whole thing.
Definitely. Let's do it.
Yeah. I already touched on the Eagles and Chiefs game last week because I did my show on Saturday last week as well. And I touched on that. I guess we could just, kind of backtrack on that when we hit on the Eagles and Chiefs games later on. Basically, the first game I want to talk a little bit about is the Green Bay-Cincinnati game.
Well, that was one of the best games I saw last week, J-Cat. You look at Green Bay, they have some problems right now across the board. They're not protecting Aaron Rodgers. He's running for his life, and I think teams finally know how to play this guy. You got to contain him, and you got to keep him in the pocket because I think he's at his best, and I think he's the best quarterback making the throw on the run and stepping out the pocket because he can just kill you in a variety of ways. And their defense, they still have a lot of issues, still playing a lot of zone coverage, and they're getting beat. The teams are taking the top off that zone, and they're relying too much on Clay Matthews.
Yeah, definitely. I just think their pass defense as well is just not impressive. You know, Rodgers threw two interceptions, was sacked four times. I mean, they're kind of relying on him to carry the game, which for the most part he doesn't have a huge problem with. But, you know, I mean, they're going to have some more pieces than that if they're going to make it work.
Definitely. And you know, they're trying to run the football. I've noticed that the last couple of weeks. They're trying to establish the run and really get a ground game going. I think if they can do that, this is a team I really wouldn't want to face, you know, in November and December and January.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those teams that, you know, they have the X-factor quarterback, and they're always going to be an issue as long as that quarterback's in the game. But, yeah, they're one of many teams that I think are – a lot of teams right now are showing a lot of weakness, and including us. So, you know, we're going to see how this shakes out, I guess, because if everyone's kind of shaky, you know, come the end of the season, people can come full circle and be dominant again. So,
I couldn't agree with you anymore, man.
Yeah. Well, next game was the Cowboys and Rams. The Cowboys pretty much dominated the Rams. You know, and I got to take myself back, you know, when we get to the Niners game from, you know, that we just watched on Thursday. I got to say this was more the Rams' weakness than it was the Cowboys', you know, their strength.
Yeah, and I said that Dallas was going to win this game in a convincing fashion. When Tony Romo has that running game going for him with DeMarco Murray, you know, then that opens up opportunities for Tony Romo because he's not a guy that I want throwing the football 55 to 60 times a game. You got to show some balance in this game. I know it's a pass-happy league, but running the ball will set you up to pass it.
Sure. Yeah, you know, Romo was able to throw for 210 yards, and then on top of that, 175 yards rushing. I mean, the Rams just couldn't stop anything on either side of the ball. So, you know, them – you know, in their all the games that they've had this season, they've allowed 31 plus points in their three losses and 24 points in their one win. So, I mean, they're letting up points all over the board.
Yeah, they really are. And you look at this team, and they're just struggling right now.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's one of those things where Dallas, you know, catches a couple wins, but I don't really see them as a tough team. I think they're really going to be tested, and we'll see what they're made of.
Definitely.
Well, next up, you had San Diego at Tennessee. And the Titans, I really don't know how to call either one of these teams, honestly. I mean, they went to OT with Houston. They beat Pittsburgh and they beat San Diego. But what is that worth?
Yeah, you're going to ask yourself that question a lot. But this game, that was a heartbreaking loss, and I've experienced heartbreaking losses like that before when I played in high school and things mm-hmm. like that. And I blame San Diego's defensive coordinator for that game. You have a smaller cornerback on a taller and bigger wide receiver. Man-to-man coverage isn't going to work. You have to play cover two and let that safety shift over, and that didn't happen, and that's how that wide receiver caught the touchdown, game-winning touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, what do you make out of either one of these teams?
Well, San Diego, they kind of remind me of the AFC's version of the Cowboys, J-Cat. A lot of talent mm-hmm. surrounding them, but you never know what you're going to get from them. And then Tennessee,
yeah.
I think they're just going to be a team that's there. I mean, you see they're trying to run the football again. You got Chris Johnson. We don't know if he's returning to the CJ2K form from about 4 years ago, but, you know, they're trying to run the ball. Defensively, they're average at best.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's just two of those teams that I really don't know which way to call them. I mean, the Titans have been horrendous, and now they're kind of showing a little bit of fire, looking like they want to play football, but I'm not really sure how far it's going to go.
Definitely.
Yeah. Next up, we had Cleveland and Minnesota, and it isn't a real surprise to me that they won. It's more so the fashion that it's gone down. They're now with a backup quarterback that throws over 300 yards. And Adrian Peterson is not the Adrian Peterson of last year. 88 yards on the ground, you know, serviceable, but not, you know, what you would call the most dominant running back in the league.
Well, you have to realize something about him. Adrian likes to attack the line of scrimmage, and as a defense, you want to attack the line of scrimmage with him. It forces him to go outside, and that's what teams are doing. They're loading that box, 7 or 8 men, and they're forcing him to go to the outside. Because look at him, J-Cat, when he's running to the from mm-hmm. the outside of the tackles instead of the inside of the tackles.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's always going to be a dangerous back, but, you know, quarterback-wise, and they don't have a lot more going for their team. It's either going to be carried by Adrian Peterson or they're going to fall flat, and they're 0-3.
Yeah, the 0-3. I had a feeling this team wasn't going to be what they were last year. That team simply got to the playoffs on the legs and the feet of Adrian Peterson, and this year I just think teams really studied. This offseason, teams really studied how to stop him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, at this point, they have, you know, Percy Harvin's gone, and one of their backup quarterbacks is a wide receiver at this point. So I don't know, you know, what kind of legs they have to stand on.
Right.
So, you know, going from that, they have the Bucks, who are now Josh Freeman-less. They pretty much put him on the bench and pretty much said that they're not even sure that he's the backup quarterback. You know, so they went in there and they lost to the Pats. Brady's throwing to rookie quarter or wide receivers, I should say. Brady's another one of those quarterbacks who's going to find a way to win. He is Tom Brady. So, I mean, there's no denying his talent. And, I mean, you could take all his targets away and he's gonna create new targets and make names out of people who didn't have them. But,
right, and
you know,
on Sunday, this is the most comfortable I've seen Brady play all
mm-hmm.
3 weeks. Because let's be real. This Patriots team should be 2-1 at the best,
sure.
Maybe even 1-2. They should not be 3-0, but that's Bill Belichick and Tom Brady for you. They're going to guide their team to victory only the way those two know how and only the way they can. And he's getting more comfortable with these wide receivers. You see him getting the football to a Kenbrell Tompkins. You see him finding Aaron Dobson in the flat. When Rob Gronkowski comes back, he's really going to open up this offense a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Do you think he could stay healthy? Because he seems like he's, you know, becoming injury-prone pretty fast.
Yeah, he really is. And I like the approach that the Patriots are playing. This kid is young. Let him rest his body up and let him come back when he's 100% to. 100% to come back. Because the guy had four arm surgeries and then a back surgery as well.
Yeah. But, I mean, the Bucks. I really don't know what to make out of them. I think that, you know, they picked up all these big, you know, weapons on defense, and I think, you know, a lot of attention was given to that, saying that, oh, okay, they're the next coming, okay, shut down defense. I don't know if you just get the chemistry by putting the players on your team and, you know, starting to play games. So I don't know if that's what's really holding them back, plus the quarterback situation with Freeman, you know. What do you make out of this team?
Well, God, they're just terrible right now. Not protecting Josh Freeman. He's not taking care of the football. Defensively, their front seven, they're putting pressure on the quarterback, but they're committing penalties. That's what's really hurting this team. When you're not disciplined, it shows on the football field.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, they have a lot to do before they become some kind of force. You know, I know our friend Nick had them pretty much making the playoffs right off the bat, but, yeah, I think they got a ways to go, and now if they're going to, you know, go quarterback switching and trying to settle in that way, I don't know.
Yeah, man. I mean, I thought Tampa was going to be a little bit better than this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. And, you know, I mean, they're doing okay on the running game. But, again, I don't know. I'm not seeing a lot of dominance out of running backs as a whole this year. I mean, you look at some of the top backs, you know, between Peterson, Arian Foster, and,
right.
you know, Ray Rice going down. Yeah.
You know, I mean, you got to put LeSean McCoy in there. LeSean McCoy, he was having a pretty good couple of weeks. I think for the Eagles to win, they're going to have to get him the football.
True. So then you had New Orleans at Arizona, which New Orleans is clearly better with Sean Payton back. And I think that's helped them a lot. But, I mean, the teams that they have beaten is they narrowly beat Atlanta, which Atlanta stops playing – at least half of the game. Their defense just falls off in the second half of the game. And then narrowly beating Tampa Bay. So, you know, coming off of that, putting a beating on Arizona, but considering all things, you know, I mean, 3-0 is 3-0, but, you know, I'm not really sure what to take from that.
I'm not sure what to take either. And the other day on the SportsCenter, J-Cat, we played by yourself. With these 3-0 teams remaining, and I was asked about the Saints, and I said sell, because I don't know if this is a team I can depend on in the fourth quarter, late in game,
right.
to win, to really close games out.
Yeah. And like I said, considering, you know, how they beat them and who they beat, and it's just not that convincing. Drew Brees is going to be another one of those quarterbacks that you really can't count out. But as a whole team, they're going to be tested down the line. And I honestly think their big test is coming Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. Next game up, yeah, Detroit and Washington. RG3, he's starting to put up some numbers, but, I mean, especially game, you know, the first game of the season, he came out and it was preseason. His first half of football was straight preseason football. He didn't even start playing actual NFL quarterback football until the second half against the Eagles. And he really seems to be taking a lot of time to warm up and really not playing four quarters of football just yet. I don't know if he's going to kick in and it's going to happen sometime this season, but it seems like you got a lopsided game and an on and off RG3 thus far. So, you know, that's, you know, at least what I'm seeing out of him.
I agree with you 100%, J-Cat, and great minds think alike, right? Don't great minds think alike? Yeah. Well, you know, you look at RG3, and he's clearly not the same guy, and he's not a pocket passer. Like, we gave him the credit for being last year. He likes to run and maneuver things and extend plays with his feet, and he's not doing that. Now, because he's not 100% healthy. If I'm the Redskins, I would give Kirk Cousins a chance. He's healthy. And he showed you he's capable, more than capable of handling the responsibilities.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty bad. I mean, even, you know, this game he decided, I guess, was playing more of the first half of the game. They put up 14 points in the first half. Second half, they only came up with 6 points. So, you know, whether it's the first or second half, it seems like a half of a game of football that you're getting out of the Redskins at this point. You know, the other big story out of that game was the guy's name escapes me. Defense on Washington lost the tip of his finger.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. I've never heard of anything like that, other than the great Ronnie Lott that year. But I've never heard of anything like that in a couple of years.
Yeah, a guy missed a tackle or something on a return. You know, felt his fingers hurt, looked down, blood dripping from his glove. He takes off his glove, and the tip of his finger still on the glove. I mean, that's some pretty unheard of stuff.
Definitely. But, you know, it's a game, and things are going to happen.
Yeah, you get a couple hundred pounds of moving force, and you're trying to stop. Yeah, they keep going, so.
Exactly.
I guess not as far-fetched as it sounds, but, it's a scary thought. But, then you had the Giants going and getting absolutely blown out by the Carolina Panthers.
The Giants look absolutely terrible right now, J-Cat. Nothing is flowing for this team. Bad offensive line. Eli's been sacked 8 times. He's turning the football over. He's pressing, forcing things where he knows he shouldn't be forcing them. They're not running the ball. And defensively, they're awful as a unit, which normally the strength of this defense, the front four, has really been struggling. They're not putting pressure on the quarterback. The linebacking core, they're missing gap assignments, leaving the flat wide open, playing too much zone coverage. And then the secondary, they're just getting manhandled back there.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, the game against Dallas, you know, they went to Cruz for 3 touchdowns. You know, Eli, 450 yards, and that's a loss. So, I mean, it's hard. I mean, you put up that many yards and you're throwing 3 touchdowns to one guy and it's still a loss on your end. I mean, it's going to take a lot for this team to really, you know, it's more than the quarterback. I mean, Eli threw 8 picks this season already. So.
Yeah, that's tough. When you don't take care of the ball, you don't win football games.
You know, even against his brother, you know, he went out there and threw 362 yards. He doesn't have a problem moving the ball. But his consistency as far as taking care of it, like you said, he threw 4 picks on top of that 362 yards.
Right. So I'm just curious to see what this team does moving forward because an 0-3 hole is a lot bigger to dig yourself out of than an 0-2 hole.
Yeah, and I've heard a lot of people, you know, hopeful on the Giants side of the ball because they got Brandon Jacobs back. I don't think that guy has anything to turn around, you know.
I don't think he does either. I agree with you again. Look, this guy, he's not in game shape. He hasn't played football in a couple of years. You know, it didn't work out with the 49ers. So, yeah, I mean, what can we really expect from him?
Yeah, and this thing about him, too, is because I, you know, as a Niner fan, I was excited. I was like, well, maybe this guy can get some bang-out yards. We don't need him to be a primary back. We had him back there. You know, we had Frank Gore. We had LaMichael James. We had Kendall Hunter. Kendall Hunter went down with a season-ending injury, and that left a spot open for someone to step their game up, and it was LaMichael James. But Brandon Jacobs, instead of stepping his game up, he was in the locker room criticizing the coaches, tweeting out pictures of him in Giants uniforms, reminiscing. And I just didn't see where he was actually attempting to even try to play football for that team. So, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's tough right now in Big Blue Land. And they're a lot better than what we've seen. I don't want to say I'm going to count them out, but they're certainly not the same team that we thought we'd see this year. And I have this team winning the division, J-Cat.
Yeah, well. That's the thing about the NFC East is it's really still anybody's game. The Eagles really let everybody in on defense. They have some pretty high-powered offense, but that's starting to show cracks too, with people getting to Vic and everything. You know, the Redskins are doing what the Redskins are doing. Dallas is only so good. I mean, it's very well could be anybody's division.
Yeah, it's the most unpredictable division in football. You never know what you're going to get from either one of these teams. I mean, let's be real, J-Cat. Did you have the Redskins winning the NFC East last year?
I actually was pulling for them because partially it might be personal bias because I do not like the Eagles whatsoever, and I'm not a big Giant guy either. So possibly I was pulling for the underdog, and obviously Dallas as well. I mean, Dallas was my most hated team for years and years because when they were the team of the 90s, they were beating the Niners to get there. So I had no love for the Dallas Cowboys. So,
right.
But, yeah, they were kind of an underdog.
Definitely, yeah. I understand where you're coming from. I remember those Cowboys and Niners rivalries like just like it was yesterday.
Yeah, there's not too many old-school Cowboy fans that are Niner fans either, so completely understandable. We were beating them in the 80s to get there. Well, next up you had Houston and Baltimore. Baltimore is obviously a whole different team. You know, they paid Flacco. They lost a lot of their players. Defense is a whole new look. Houston, to me, is just really not showing anywhere near the dominance that they did last year. You know, like I said, Arian Foster isn't really running the ball with any type of you know, he's not scaring anybody with his run presence. You know, and overall, I don't know what to feel about that team either.
Yeah, these are two teams that are really surprising. You look at Baltimore, and they were expected to come out looking different. They're obviously not the same team anymore. Ray's not there. Danelle Ellerby isn't there. Paul Kruger isn't there. No more Ed Reed, Bernard Pollard. Those guys were all very key in what the Baltimore Ravens did last year, especially in the playoffs, especially in January. That's when those veterans all stepped up. Offensively, they're a little inconsistent. Ray Rice, I think he's going to see a little bit more responsibility when he comes back off the injury, and I think he's expected to be back tomorrow in Buffalo. But, you know, Torrey Smith, yeah, he's probably the number one wide receiver on that team, but he only runs one route, J-Cat. He only runs that fly pattern. He doesn't run all the other routes. They don't have another guy they could turn to on that offense. No, Dennis Pitta in the middle. So the Ravens, they're still a work in progress to me.
Yeah, for sure. You know, next game up, you had Miami at Atlanta. And Miami, I mean, they're just a young, hungry team. You know, they seem to come in quietly. You know, they were decent last year. You know, showed some kind of signs of hope. They made some off-season moves. And they look like a young, hungry team that's just going out there and playing some hard football. Like I said, Atlanta kind of falls off in half of the game. So it's not really a shock for a team like Miami to come in and just beat them.
No, it's really not. In Atlanta, like you said, J-Cat, this goes back to the NFC title game in the playoffs last year. This defense
is
extremely ghost. It's suspect in the fourth quarter. They're not making tackles. They're blowing coverages. And it's like they don't even want to try.
Yep.
Because they think their offense is going to bail them out.
Yeah, and it's really not. Well, next up, you got the Jets and the Bills. They're the Jets and the Bills. And You know, I get lost for words a lot of times with these teams, because any kind of hope they show, you know they're not going to be around come playoff time. And, you know, they're going to show their signs of daylight and whatnot. And I just, I don't know, you know, going from Sanchez to Geno Smith to pretty much start off the season, Geno doesn't know what he's doing out there. He's running around trying to make things happen, and he's not doing too bad for himself. But, you know, I really don't know what to call out of them.
No, I don't either. The Jets are one of those up and down and unpredictable football teams. You never know what you're going to get from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The thing about it is, too, because, you know, I'll see a lot of Jets fans around here. Not overwhelming, less Giant, you know, less than the Giants and Eagle fans that I see around here. But it's funny. The Jets fans, every single season, the Jets will give them a reason to smile and a reason to cheer and run around with their jerseys on. And you just see their face changing as the season goes. And by about week 8, they know who they're picking in the draft.
Yeah, it's like that sometimes.
Yeah, it just seems like it every year. It's like, oh, man, just wait, just wait. I mean, I remember back when they got DeBrickashaw Ferguson, they're like, that's it, our line is straight out. He's going to have all day to pass. Oh, man, we're going to be in contention now. This thing. Next thing you know, it's like, oh, man, next year I really hope we get this guy in the draft because, yeah, their heads are all dropped. It's a whole different look.
Right.
Anyway, the next game up was the Colts and Niners, and man, this was the second week in a row that it was a tough week for me to watch. And I mean, we couldn't get any offense going. Frank Gore had 80 something yards. Most of it was in the first half. He actually had words with Harbaugh sometime late in the game. They ran him, I think, 9 times in the first half and 2 in the second. You know, they just Vernon Davis out of the game. They were able to double team Baldwin, completely eliminate him from the game, and you know, just keep banging us up more and more. You know, Pat Willis went out the game at some point.
Well, I saw that game, and the Colts, they really played the 49ers game, and they beat them at it. They were physical, and that's one thing you don't associate with a defense in Indianapolis is physicality. Because even with Peyton Manning, they were an average defense at best. They made stops when they had to, but the 49ers, they just looked out of sync, and Collin was out the pocket, and like you said, they took Bolden out, so he really didn't have another weapon to go to. Vernon Davis is still a rock to that offense.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, whether it's Bolden catching, you know, a couple hundred yards worth of passes, you know, there's a tight end out there making some moves that, you know, makes it so you can't double team Anquan Bolden. And, you know, without Crabtree and Manningham and all that on the field, you know, they had Quentin Patton out there. They're not too worried about that guy busting open on coverage. But, yeah, it's tough going. We have a lot of people down, and that was, man, they took full advantage, and they just outplayed us.
Yeah, they really did. And, you know, you got to give credit where credit is due. Indianapolis, they did well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next game they had the Jaguars and Seattle Seahawks. And, you know, I knew after the Seahawks handed it to us, the Jags were going into their loud stadium. I figure, man, if the Jags come out of this with a win, man, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. So I had, you know, full expectations that they were going to handle the Jags, and they did. The Jags are just a terrible team. I don't know if they're going to ship this team to London or what they're going to do with them, but
Yeah, Seattle's the best team in football right now, J-Cat. They got speed on offense, speed on defense. They're well-coached, offensive line as well. Great play at the quarterback, running the ball, and then they have the best defense in the league.
Yeah, is that what they're telling you in London? Like, listen, we're bringing over a top-notch football team. They're going to be our guys. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's bad times over there for the Jags. I'm surprised they didn't end up with Tim Tebow. His name seemed to disappear from the radar completely, huh?
Yeah. You get him, at least he'll put some fans in the seats there in Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had heard somebody, had somebody on a couple of weeks ago, I think it was Lane, and he said he pretty much thinks that that city is trying to drive the fans away so it'll give them an easier way to sell that team.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with these Jacksonville Jaguars. They're clearly the worst team in football.
Mm-hmm. You know, in Seattle now, they're going on now. I think they have three offensive linemen down, starting offensive linemen down. So I don't know if that's going to shake them up at all. I mean, they're looking pretty tough at this point, but I guess we'll see as they go forward.
Definitely.
Then you got the Bears in Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh's another one of those teams that just not looking good at all. Five turnovers. I don't know what to call it. I really think that Roethlisberger is probably seeing his final year.
Yeah, you look at the Steelers. They're not running the ball. Their defense, they're not a unit, J-Cat. We can depend on to get a takeaway or two a game and generate that in the point. That's not the same team anymore. So and they're not running the ball. They're having some issues on the offensive line, and losing Mike Wallace was a huge blow to this team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. For some reason, though, I don't think Big Ben's long for this league anymore. You know, he's done a lot. He's been banged up. He's been one of those guys, you know, from motorcycle accidents to on-field collisions, whatever, and just fight through and be that tough guy. And I don't know if he can necessarily be that for too much longer. And I honestly don't see him playing a backup quarterback for anybody. So I could see him exiting this league, you know, within the next year to 2 years.
Yeah, definitely. But I've never seen a Steelers team so out of sync. And I'll admit, I did have some winning on Sunday, but the Bears, they came in and it really hit the Steelers in the mouth.
Yeah, definitely. Raiders and the Broncos played. That was their last game of that week. And, I mean, the Broncos are probably the most dominant team in the NFL right now, at least on paper or just even visually. They're one of those teams I don't see as many weaknesses out of as you can see out of any other team. Possibly them or the Chiefs. I mean, one of those two teams. And, they're let yet to collide, but could be some pretty games when those come up.
Yeah, Denver right now, I mean, this was expected from them. And Peyton Manning is finally healthy. He wasn't 100% last year when he came back. You know, he was still trying to get acclimated to things, and now he has a full grasp of this offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they're a scary team. Peyton Manning is just a complete game changer. He's like having two offensive coordinators on a team. You got the one that you're paying to be one, and then you got your quarterback, and he is just, you know, he reads from the line. He could see everything the defense is doing. You can't show him anything. He's just a complete game changer.
He really is, and right now I think he's the best quarterback in the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that whatsoever. So then, you know, this week led off with a Thursday game, and that was the Niners and the Rams. And, you know, I was really, really happy to see this team playing well. They did play well even without Patrick Willis in there. And, you know, DeVarro Bowman really took over on defense and, you know, put the defense at least looking like they should be. Alden Smith out as well for, you know, who knows how long. And, I mean, they are the Rams, but it's good to see our team look good against anybody at this point.
Yeah, and J-Cat, we were talking during this game as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we were both impressed. We were both saying some good things, you know, how Bowman was really taking the reins of that defense, and Frank Gore was finally getting some touches of the football.
Yeah. I was very happy to see him running the ball the way he did. They kept at it. You know, they kept giving him the ball. They didn't drop off in the second half like the previous week. I mean, Anquan Boldin is just amazing. You know, they say he's one of those guys, when he's covered, he's still open. You know, and he really showed that during his game, too.
He really did. He's one of the best wide receivers in football.
Mm-hmm. We had a scare during towards the end of the game. Joe Staley went down, and you could actually audibly hear him scream on the TV. And I'm like, oh, man, this is bad. And apparently he's okay. He actually tweeted yesterday, I'm good. and I screamed like no dude should ever scream. LOL, my bad.
Hey, you got to do it.
So, yeah, I'm glad I was a scare and nothing serious, because that dude really holds the line together, you know, for the most part. I mean, he's a Pro Bowl guy and definitely wouldn't be the same without him. So yeah, figure we could jump from that into the rest of next week's games. I call the games on the week every week with the points and everything like that. So I'm gonna do that and you know, see what you got. All right, we got Indianapolis at Jacksonville. Indy's favored by 8.5 points. I'm gonna go with Indy.
Yeah, I'm taking the Colts too. I think they're gonna come out, establish a running game. Andrew Luck is going to get these receivers the football, and they're going to be in sync all day. I like the Colts.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things. Jacksonville's going to have to start winning games before we can figure out, you know, on paper how it's actually going to happen, because I really don't see any legitimate ways where it's going to. You got next game up, you got Seattle at Houston. Seattle's favored by 3.5 points. They've been looking consistently good, and I really don't know what to call out of Houston. Who do you got in that game?
I like Seattle. I think they can go down there, establish a running game. And Richard Sherman, this is the type of matchup he's looking for. He wants to face a guy like an Andre Johnson, like an Anquan Boldin, yeah, those bigger wide receivers, because he's a bigger cornerback.
Yeah. Yeah, I got Seattle as well. I, you know, in my dream situation, Houston would have a really good wake-up week. They'd go out there, they'd beat Seattle, and then get humbled the following week against San Francisco. But I'm not so sure that's exactly what's going to happen. I can hope that J.J. Watt does take advantage of three offensive linemen down on Seattle's side and, you know, start recording some big sacks over there. But I definitely got to say Seattle. Next up, you got Chicago with Detroit. Detroit's favored by 2.5 at home. Who do you got?
I like the Bears in this one. I don't trust the Lions. Too reliant on Calvin Johnson. Defense, they'll give up some big plays down the stretch. And I really like the way this Bears team is playing right now.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Detroit on this one. I think Reggie Bush is supposed to be back. He was doing big things for the team. You know, he might be still a little banged up. I mean, this could really go either way. But I'm just going to go with Detroit as the home team. And like I said, if Reggie Bush comes back and contributes with, you know, his run pass options, I mean, he's very, you know, versatile that way, and he could, you know, do some big things. So I'm just going to go with Detroit on that. The Giants at KC, KC's favored by 4.5 points, and I can't understand why it's only 4.5 points, but I'm going with Kansas City.
Yeah, I'm with you, J.K. I'm going with Kansas City as well. I just like the way the Chiefs are playing. They're playing with a lot of confidence across the board. Andy Reid really has them believing in themselves. And on top of that, the Giants, they're just a little too discombobulated for me right now.
Mm-hmm. And right now, I think the Kansas City Chiefs are the number one defense in the league. And having a team like the Giants turning the ball over as much as they do, I think the Chiefs are going to feast on that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and you got the Bengals at the Cleveland Browns, and Cincinnati is favored by 5.5. What do you got?
I'm going with the upset pick, J.K. I'm going with Cleveland, because Cleveland always plays Cincinnati tough in Cleveland, and I think that continues tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Cleveland's a far better team than, I don't know. They actually, you know, I came out in the beginning of this year and I said two teams that I think are going to surprise people are the Cleveland Browns and the Kansas City Chiefs. So far, the Chiefs are completely doing what I expected them to. The Browns are a little bit slower going, but they play hard-fought games. Last year, they didn't win a whole lot of games, but they lost, you know, by a little bit of points on a lot of games against tough teams. And, you know, this year I thought they were going to do the same and maybe turn up their wins. Yeah, you know, big running back trade and stuff. You know, I don't really know exactly what happened there. I keep trying to, you know, think exactly what it was. Now I don't know if they had locker room problems with the guy or something about what they were trying to do with their offense just didn't line up with him, or what the case was, but they really didn't suffer that much. You know, their quarterback went down. They went in there with a backup and, you know, threw for a whole lot of yards. So I think the Cleveland Browns are still a good team. They might be a year or two out from being, you know, a serious factor, but I still think that they have a lot of fight.
I agree with everything you just said, Mr. Morris.
Yeah. You got the Arizona Cardinals at the Tampa Bay Bucks. The Bucks are favored by 3.5 points. I think the Bucks get their first win in this one, and I'm going with them.
I like Arizona. I think they're going to take advantage of this, and Carson Palmer and Larry Fitzgerald. I won't say they'll have a big day because Fitz will probably have Revis on him, but I like Arizona. I don't know if I can go with a rookie quarterback.
Okay. Next up, we got Baltimore at Buffalo. Baltimore is favored by 3.5 points. Who do you got?
I like Baltimore, and I think they're going to be one of the more surprising 3-1 teams after this week if they win.
Yeah, I go with Baltimore as well. Again, Buffalo, they're Buffalo. I don't know how to call them or the Jets. I just don't think that they're going to be supreme teams. They need a lot more, you know, keys or something. Yeah, I'm not really sure how to call that whole division as well. You know, the Patriots are the Patriots just because of, like you said, you got the coach and the quarterback, and those two guys are not going to make it easy to play them. But, you know, rookie wide receivers, you know, tight end killing somebody, the other one's in and out of the game. There's a lot of pieces on that team that are just unsure, but the Jets and the Bills are going to make it easy to sweep that division pretty easily. And then you pretty much line up against the Dolphins. But, the Bills, I can't put a lot of faith behind them. So I'm definitely going with Baltimore.
Definitely.
You got Pittsburgh and Minnesota, and Pittsburgh's favored by 1.5. I got Minnesota getting their first win here.
Yeah, I have the Steelers getting the win in this one, JK. I think they can come out and really take advantage of just Minnesota struggles.
Okay. You got the Jets at Tennessee. Tennessee favored by 4.5 points. Who do you got?
I got the Jets. I think the Jets, they're playing with a lot of confidence across the board. That defense, I'm starting to see flashes of the 2009 unit that got to two straight AFC title games.
Okay. I'm going to go with Tennessee on that one. I just think Geno Smith, he's young. Tennessee, I think they have some pretty good pass defense. Might be able to make some moves there. They're kind of hit and miss, so it could really go either way. But I'm going to go with Tennessee. You got Dallas at San Diego. Dallas is favored by 1.5. Who do you got there?
I got San Diego. Dallas, one week they look good, next week they don't. If San Diego has a better defense, then they're giving credit for it. I think Phillip Rivers, they're going to try and run the football, and they're going to try and stretch the Cowboys defense out. I like San Diego.
All right. I'm going to go with Dallas on that one. I said Dallas, you know, they've done well, and it really depends on their opponent. And I feel like San Diego is the same type of team. Kind of a coin flip game to me. It really depends on the Tony Romo that shows up. And, I mean, the same would go for Rivers. I'm not sure, but I'm going to go with Dallas. Next up, you got Washington at Oakland. I'm going to take Washington in that one. I actually, if you noticed, I'm up against you in the fantasy league this week, and I got RG3 starting the game rather than my other quarterback in Russell Wilson. Going up against Oakland, I think he's going to put up a pretty big game, so I'm going to go with Washington.
I like Oakland. Washington, I can't quite put my finger on this team. I like Oakland. I think they can establish a running game, and Washington's defense is absolutely horrible.
Mm-hmm. All right. Philadelphia, Denver. Denver's favored by 10.5 points. Who do you got in that one?
I like Denver. They're at home. I don't know if Philly has enough to keep up with Peyton Manning in this offense. And you got to give Denver's defense a lot of credit. They're winning football games without two key players in Von Miller and Champ Bailey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, and I definitely think the defense on Philly's side is really not that strong. They've allowed people back in the games. Even that game, week one, they had all the offensive power in the world first half and just steamrolled the Redskins. And then when RG3 woke up in the second half, it gave him every opportunity to come back in that game, and the Eagles were able to pull it out. But I wouldn't be proud of that game at all. And Peyton Manning isn't going to play two quarters. He's going to play four.
Yep, and he always does.
Mm-hmm. Next up, you got New England and Atlanta, and Atlanta's favored by 1.5 at home. I'm going to go with New England on this one, though.
I'm with you because I don't trust the Falcons' defense, and for them to win this game, they're going to have to come away with a key stop with Tom Brady late in the game. I like New England.
Mm-hmm. And last game of the week, and I think it's going to be a good one, Monday Night Football. You got the Miami Dolphins undefeated going up against the New Orleans Saints. And the Saints are favored by 6.5 at home. Who do you got?
I like the Saints. That's just too dominant of a home field advantage. I don't know if the Dolphins have enough to keep up with the New Orleans Saints.
I got Miami on this one. I think this might be the week that Miami actually, opens some eyes and people realize that this team is it is young and hungry and they're good. They're, possibly a little better than some of the 3-0 teams out there just because I just think there's more reality to it. It's not really the opponents they were beating. I just think that, they're an up-and-coming team. So I look for them to pull that. I guess you would call it an upset victory, especially in New Orleans.
Definitely. That'll be a good one because I don't think anybody had these teams starting 3-0. Right now.
No, definitely not. So that's the games. Anything else you want to throw out there or anything like that?
Yeah, you can check out our website, dailyblitz61.wordpress.com. Like the Facebook page, facebook.com/thedailyblitz. Follow us on Twitter @dailyblitz_61, and I will be back on the air with my man, J. Cat Morris, very soon.
Excellent. Yeah, like I said, I normally do the show on Wednesday, so it does, conflict with the Sports Den. You could always check Christian out on the Sports Den doing his thing with them guys. Those are my dudes over there. So, anytime I'm doing a show, on another day or something like that, I'll definitely holler at you to come back on. It's been great, man.
Hey, man, thank you for the opportunity. I'm real humbled by, we've talked and we talk sports all the time. You're a class act, man, and I have a lot of respect for you.
Thank you, Christian. Likewise.
Thank you, sir. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Have a good night, man.
You too, man.
All right. So there you go. There's Christian Simpson. Like I said, the dude knows his stuff. And it's always good to have somebody on talking about football with. So that's that. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to take a break and come back and do some ranting and raving and shit. A few things I have to talk about. Definitely going to play this right here. And I'm going to dedicate this to, I guess, what I'll come out of the break with. And, I'll just leave it at that and play this. All right, check it.
Come on now. Y'all knew I was coming now. Y'all knew I was coming. Y'all just ain't no win. That was a cheap shot. That was it. Now I got to get you. Big Sean album is trash, it sound wicked. In fights I be swinging like Will and Jada Pickett. Jada Pappos, oh what? Boy, I give you face shots, leave your eyes puffy like the nigga who made Mace High. Hey. All of your dogs is straight dogs, y'all get straight shots. Bastards, I spit ass and they need Maylock. Kanye wore a skirt, what was he trying to prove? Y'all be following them Illuminati rules. Carry yourself like a man and you will fail. Play a bitch, you prevail. The only time they want the black man to show his strength is during sports. Outside of that, they want us to be soft. So Big Sean speak like a woman when he talk. When he having a seat, he keep his legs crossed. We can't blame him, it's really not his fault. This is the feminization that he was taught. You ain't a man, take the M from your mannerism. You brain dead, I just gave you an aneurysm. True and living, God's life was divine, use your wisdom. Whenever I'm reciting a rhyme, the proof is given. He's abusing Biggie name, who gave you permission? You look like Ralph Tresvant from New Edition. Gifted, I shoot the gift, no curse. Every time they play control, they skip your verse. Yeah. Little bitch, how much change you got in your purse? I'm about to lift your skirt. It's the difference between great music and good music. Y'all ain't good with me. How the fuck they put your album out before Pusha T? What? I figured out why you so skinny, then I got over it. Pusha must be selling the crack, and you smoking it. Anorexic.
quick to slap the way that you fit. On your album cover, it look like you taking a shit. Behind the green curtain, same color as Khalid's dress. On Nas' album cover, you a complete mess. Is that an indirect or you just a copycat? Cause he killed you on your own album, he body dead. Got the audacity to say you better than Drake and out-rap Jay-Z. What a level of hate. Those artists made you high, go ahead and give praise. Worst click verse, they should spit dead in your face. Your biggest record was called ASS. Nicki Minaj made it hot. You way less fresh. I heard you yay yes man who get paid less checks. So when yay ask a question, you just say yes, yes. You cocky for no reason like you making mad noise. What? You got your style from the original Bad Boy. Yeah, B.I.G. Why you said that shit? Always saying boy, that's Craig Mack shit. Out in New York, you better head back, bitch. Red still ringing, let that Red Mack spin. First chain, don't make me laugh, lame. In Brooklyn, that would've been your last chain. Said you stay on your toes, damn, that's for ballerinas and girls. You should stay grounded, keep your feet on the floor. Molly did your video without you even, I saw your interview. Couldn't give a good reason at all. Lost on your first single, you was seen in the draw. Attention to your project, she even the score. She illuminated your album, you was seen for more. Prostituting for the press, you a media whore. Mentally, you a virus. Part of the reason we lost Hannah Montana, now we stuck with Molly Cyrus. Talking about you Hall of Fame, but you and Ye is all the same. Share a verse, wear a skirt, place them on the wall of shame. When they name lyricists, they don't never call his name. So in every interview, you hear this fuckboy complain. Never walk in subway tracks in the pouring rain with a can of spray paint, just to tag up on a train. Never seen a movie breaking beat, street crush, groove style, walk round style. Damn, you a fuck dude. Ain't hip hop in a lot of ways. Never walk with a woke man. Your first headphones was Dr. Dre. Sean, I get at you, ready to attack you. Last name McAdoo, you gon' call me Pam. Right on my hand, I got my whole city tattoo. Five boroughs of death, don't make me back smack. King on my castle, get out of here, get daddy. Eyes on the prize and my ear to the crab. Niggas like the tattoo, shoddy double barrel. Brains on the windshield, Kane cousin Harold. I carry the torch like a motherfucking statue. Shitting on these rappers, I don't even need a bathroom. They probably never had you. Know the man who grabbed you. Big head scientist, go by the name of Yak. Oh, you spit a mean 16, I can match you. Well, I spit an M16, who wanna battle? Papoose who? World Health Organization. Papoose who? You an owl or you hating? Who? You know who the guard is. Stop fronting, never say who. Who is the rock group in London?
Yeah, that was Papoose killing Big Sean on a track. Now, all right, what I wanted to get into real quick, because it was a post made by a certain ex-tag team wrestler, EC Negro, formerly of the Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. He had posted, and I quote, I don't even want to quote because I might misquote, but the general gist of what he said is, Meek Mill is the greatest rapper alive. Now, see, statements like this and arguments like this usually come off wrong, because by the end of this shit, you got people just straight up going, fuck that dude, he's trash, and this and this and this, which I didn't go in that direction. I like Meek Mill, you know what I mean? But I wouldn't even put him close to top five greatest rapper alive. I mean, that's just an insane statement. I think that's a retarded statement. I really think, like, some of Meek Mill's biggest fans, I don't think they would go out there and say, yo, this dude's the greatest rapper alive. I mean, fuck out of here. I'm saying, like, all right, first off, let's just go the route of Nas, Busta Rhymes, Jay-Z, like, Eminem, like these dudes that are just better lyricists and their catalog straight up, because greatest rapper alive isn't like I heard a song that I really like this week and that makes it better than everything anyone's ever done, because who the fuck would think that way? You know what I mean? Like who would ever think that way, that you'd be like, you know what? All right. Well, this is this track right here, this is my favorite track, man. This is my favorite shit I've heard in a long time. Does that make you just erase everything else from your memory and go, well, Nas ain't come out with hot shit in a minute, so fuck that guy. All right, this guy's the best right now, just living. I mean, it's just a retarded statement. So, like, on that front, that's how I feel about that. All right? But if you're talking about new, fresh, hot, whatever the fuck like that, I still think, like, the latest one I played last week that he threw on Cassidy was fire. You know what I mean? But beyond that, Cassidy has roasted that dude every single time he came out. Every Cassidy joint he threw at Meek couldn't counter that shit. There's nothing Meek did to counter that shit to say that he was winning that battle at all. I mean, this track that, you know, pretty much did the Jackin' for Beats thing and, went on Ether and all that other shit. It's like, yeah, it was fire. So, I mean, but I don't know if you just straight give the dude lead even in that battle just off of one track. I mean, it's the newest shit. It's hot. So, I mean, whatever's fresh in people's minds is usually what they go off of. Not like, okay, this guy destroyed him five times and this dude hit really hard once. I mean, that's just not really. So, I don't know. I mean, in my personal opinion, I think Cassidy's better than you. I also went with Papoose because, like I said, Papoose, to me, is an unbelievable lyricist. I mean, the dude's got crazy lyrics. I mean, his bars are crazy. His punchlines are off the chain. So I like Papoose. You know what I mean? So I put his name out there. This dude's going to turn around and tell me Papoose is irrelevant. I ain't heard of him since 2002. Like I said, I just heard a couple banging-ass tracks out of him like last week, 2 weeks ago. So, and then I put, so you must not know and shit, right? So then here's where people decide that, you know, well, I live somewhere, so now I know everything about rap music. Well, I live in New York, so, oh, trust me, I know. Okay, so he makes that statement, I live in New York, trust me, I know, and then follows it with this. DJ Clue tried blowing that dude up for years, and it didn't work. To which I respond, that was K Slay, not DJ Clue. So how are you going to tell me you know about some shit because you're from New York, and then the first thing you do is tell me some shit that ain't right? You know what I'm saying? It's stupid as hell. Like, I can't stand motherfuckers who try to argue and don't know their shit at all. So that was what he said. And then he's like, yeah, you're right about that. But your dude is dude hasn't done anything since the Alphabet song and shit. And, like, the dude made, I think, like, 12 or 15 mixtapes within those, that 2 year span after that song. Just blew shit up. I mean, yeah, like, I'd still call, like, what he does more underground than what Meek's doing. Meek is, like, you know, he's blowing up, he's the scene, he's the hot dude, he's the, you know, he's the one that people are hearing everywhere. He's the one that's getting thrown up in people's faces. So I understand, like, why he's exposed to somebody like this dude. And he's on his top, but I don't think that by any stretch he's the fucking greatest rapper alive. That's a stupid statement. You know what I mean? It just is. I mean, there's a lot of other guys I put up there too. I mean, like KRS ain't dead. I mean, he's the greatest rapper alive. All right, motherfucker. So I don't know. That's just me. And even a Joel Ortiz, I take that dude over me, but I don't know. I mean, it should just annoy me when somebody tells you, you know, this dude's irrelevant and shit. Like, you know all about everything, but, like, dude's on mixtapes that came out 2 weeks ago, but he's irrelevant. You know what I mean? Like, it's just silly shit to me. But, going off of Rap Den, and the dude who I think is a complete fucking just bitch, man, Kanye West. Fucking Jimmy Kimmel goes out there and does a sketch, you know, on Kanye and shit. And he does, like, a sketch or a skit, whatever you want to call it. And Kanye just fucking blows up and goes on fucking Twitter and starts just blagging out. He's going, here's some of his tweets. Sarah Silverman is 1,000 times funnier than you, and the whole world knows it. You made it clear to me it wasn't your family when I was on the phone with you 5 minutes ago, you manipulative media motherfucker. I like you. You know me. I went to your family's wedding. Let me see. Oh, man. Just tons of shit. Like, tons of just, like, bitch shit. And he's just, Jimmy Kimmel, I don't take it as a joke. You have scumbags hopping over fences trying to take pictures of your daughter. He's just acting like a fucking child. You understand, like, someone like Jimmy Kimmel and shit, the dude is a comedian.
his job is to make jokes of shit that's in the media. Like, that's what he does. That's his job. So, if you are fucking somebody who is going to be in the media, you're going to be, you're an entertainer. You should hope that somebody that's on late night television is going to be mentioning your name. Because when they are, guess what? That means you're fucking famous. You know, that means that you are someone who, they're not going to bring me up during the Jimmy Kimmel show. You know what I mean? They're not going to make jokes about me on the Jimmy Kimmel show. Because I'm not fucking famous. People seem to think that they can get famous, and some of the things that come along with being famous, they could just erase those. They could just, I don't like that part. I just like the part where you pay me. I like the part where you guys follow me around, you buy tickets to everything I do, you pay me, you give me endorsement deals, you give me free shit, I get to live in a huge mansion, I get to do pretty much nothing my whole life, and then from that, just leave me alone. So when you're so famous that people want to see pictures of you on vacation, and the paparazzi is getting paid fucking $500,000 just to get pictures of you with your girl or your kid or some shit, well, that's part of your fame, man. Like, you know, you go ask a bunch of broke motherfuckers, like, dude, would you sacrifice, you know, not being able to really go out in public or do anything without people taking pictures of you and your family and shit that you're doing, to just be filthy motherfucking rich? I mean, I would tell you 99.9% of people, including myself, would go, take all the fucking pictures you want, motherfucker. Where do I sign? But that's the thing. People get that fame their own way, you know, through entertainment and everything else. And then they decide, I don't like this part. Get away from me and shit like this. Well, I mean, that's not part of the game. That's absolutely not part of the game. If you weren't famous, nobody would give a fuck about you. The fact that you're famous is the reason why you're rich and the reason why these people are going to, you know, rush you and want to ask you questions and do this and do jokes about you and poke fun at you. This is what it is, dude. And as far as Kanye, like, fucking flipping out on a Twitter and, oh, he's a bad motherfucker, Kanye's not tough. The fuck out of here, Kanye. Dude, I really wish someone would break his fucking jaw again and he'd just fucking sit there with a wired-ass jaw and shut his motherfucking mouth. Why don't he go back to producing? I think the majority of his tracks, as far as his lyrical content, is garbage. He's a great producer, so he's always going to kind of put some shit together that sounds really good. As far as what he's doing on the track verbally, vocally, nothing impressive, man. You could put anybody else in that spot and would do a better job. Yeah, I'm not saying anybody. I'm just saying like good rappers with his shit produced, blow his own shit out of the water. So I'm just tired of hearing him fucking run his bitch ass mouth and you know, running around like he can't be touched and now he needs to be left alone. Fucking diva shit. The fucking diva. That's all that dude is. Pussy ass. Anyway, so yeah, 2 weeks from today, I will be doing the Tough Mudder. I'm fucking beyond excited and really, really trying to prepare. Sunday, I ran after my Niners got beat by the Colts. I said, all right, threw my fucking shorts on, fucking went out, fucking ran 5 miles, and did that. Which I had been laying off running for a little bit. I had ran a little bit previously, like I think a week before that or something. But I hadn't really stepped it up as much. Been definitely heading to the gym pretty heavy lately. So I ran that 5 miles on Sunday. Then I ran 7 and change on Tuesday. So that's where I'm at there. And like I said, I've been doing the gym pretty steady. Doing DDP yoga. I actually did DDP yoga with my 10-year-old daughter the other day. I thought that was pretty fucking cool, man. You know, that was cool as hell. So, I was doing some, you know, floor abs exercises and shit, and she came in and was like, oh, what are you doing? Oh, yeah, we do this in school. Which I found it actually pretty cool that, to find out that they do planks, 30-second planks in school, and they do, at least at some point or another, they do a mile run. And if the kids don't do it in under 16 minutes, they make them do it again. And, you know, my daughter, you know, just got like 11 minutes right off the bat. And shit. So I thought that was cool. You know, it was when I was in school, it was all, you know, jumping jacks, push-ups, fucking sit-ups and shit, where you're just like grinding your spine on the floor with the dumb fucking sit-ups. No pads, no fucking mats, nothing. Just a bunch of kids doing like horrible formed fucking sit-ups and just destroying their backs at fucking, you know, 7 years old and shit. So it's cool to see that they're actually doing something that might, you know, benefit them, and you know, and then maybe pushing them a little bit with timed miles and stuff like that. You know, she's only 10, so it's good to see some stuff like that. I'm trying to push her in that direction. I'm going to have her do Foam Fest with me next year. So that way this will be her first mud run at 10 years old. That'd be pretty cool. That was definitely the, you know, the least hardcore at all. You can actually do those from 10 up, and you know, not really that many people other than myself took it as seriously as I did, because I was going and expecting something hardcore, and I prepared for it. So I hit that shit hard. And, you know, as many as people as I saw that really took it lightly and just did it, you know, took it a little more fun. She'll be able to do it. I'll get her ready for that next summer and she'll be able to do it. But anyway, the Tough Mudder, 10 to 12 miles, 25 plus obstacles. There's a bunch of like claustrophobic shit that I'm, you know, really kind of a little bit uneasy about, because I'm a little claustrophobic, not deathly, but, yeah, it's some pretty scary shit as far as these little tunnels you got to climb through. They have one thing, you're upside down. There's a, you know, chain link fence that stretches. Wow, man, it's gotta be, I want to say, 100 feet or, I can't even estimate it really, because just pictures on the website and whatever. But so the chain link fence is 6 inches above water. You have to crawl upside down on this chain link while you're in the water with 6 inches to breathe between you and the chain link fence. That shit, by all intents and purposes, sounds scary and looks scary as fuck. So I'm going to be doing that at some form of ridiculous speed, because I'm not going to be under that motherfucker for too many, you know, for too many minutes. I'm going to try to blaze that shit, because I don't want to be under there. So, yeah, but I'm excited. I'll keep you guys updated. Like I said, you know, kind of choppy as far as what days I end up doing the show, because, you know, if I'm going to hit the gym, I'm going to skip the show that night, or I'm going to do this and do that. So I'm just trying to figure it out. For anybody out there who likes the Onnit supplements, I know, you know, I've tried a few of them. I like the T Plus, and I'm actually going to try the Shroom Tech Sport. I ordered that. Onnit is very, very expensive. What I've learned recently, initially, because I always check Amazon, I'm a big fan of Amazon. What I saw initially, because I was always checked there, is they weren't available on Amazon. The only place you can get Onnit stuff is on Onnit.com. Well, now it's actually on the Amazon. So where the T Plus was actually like close to $60, it was like, you know, 50 cents, you know, like close to $60. And you know, it's 30 days worth. Now on the Amazon, it's 35. So not bad at all. And I think they got the Shroom Tech Sport for like $15 or something like that, where it's, I think, closer to like $30 on it. So yeah, I mean, definitely go check that out on there. Amazon's definitely the place to go, but I'm glad the Onnit stuff actually filtered onto there, because definitely better than you know, going the other way. Another random me news. The place I work, the Humane Society, they put out their calendar. And, you know, every year they, you know, ask for pictures and stuff like that. 2 years ago, I got 3 pictures in the calendar. For those who don't know, I take pictures and shit. It's not my job. It's like a hobby and shit. But, I I'm good at it. I'm decent at it. I wouldn't say good. Take some nice pictures, though, for sure. And then last year, I was really upset because I got 1 picture in the calendar. So, and I had twice as good a camera as I had the year before. So I got 3 pictures in. Then last year I got 1. They gave me free copies and everything. I didn't even give them out to relatives. I was so pissed I had one fucking picture in there. I submitted tons of pictures, and they put one in there. So, anyway, the calendars just came out this year. I got 6 pictures in there. I got the cover, 4 months, and 1 on the back. I mean, I'm just completely overjoyed, blown away by it. To a lot of people, it might not seem like a big deal. I mean, to me, it's just fucking huge. Anywhere that, that calendar sitting down on the counter anywhere, you see it, and I just know, bam, right on the front cover, one of my pictures. So it's cool. I got, what was it? The one on the back's a cat picture. The cover's a cat picture. Another picture inside's 2 cats. I got a caiman, which is like a small crocodile picture, 2 cougars, and a peacock. So those are all the pictures I got in there. I'm just super excited about it. So anyway, I think that I really don't have a lot more. I can go off about that too. But the other thing, I just listened to Art of Wrestling, Colt Cabana's podcast. Like, not like he needs a plug, but he had Sharkboy on. And I learned from that interview that Mick Foley, during the I Quit match that he had with The Rock, that was actually also featured on Beyond the Mat, Mick Foley was wearing a Sharkboy t-shirt under his white button-up. I thought that was fucking amazing. Like, I had no idea. And I thought that was really cool. Now I have to go back and watch Beyond the Mat again. Actually, I'll watch Beyond the Mat again because they say, too, when he's getting stitched up in the back and, he's got his white shirt unbuttoned, you can clearly see the Sharkboy shirt. But, even thinking about that match, I want to go back and watch that match again because that was just a phenomenal match. So, the brutality in that match was just beyond. And you just don't see that type of stuff on WWE television anymore. Actually, 2 things reminded me of that match, both the Sharkboy thing and recently Mick Foley was on Adam Carolla's show. And he was talking about that match and the Beyond the Mat thing. And he was saying also as far as the Hell in the Cell match. He said after that match, he went to the back and Vince more or less told him, he's like, dude, Mick, I love everything you've ever done for me and love everything you've done for the company. I don't ever want to see something like that again. So more or less like showed his appreciation and everything else and pretty much demanded that nothing to that caliber ever happens again, which I do understand. And I know, it'd be a hard go in this PG era or whatever anyway, but I always had that like back of my mind, like hope that he would, at some point pick up like one of our super deathmatch guys or people who are capable of deathmatches, whether it be going to the extreme of a Necro Butcher or a Jun Kasai, because Kasai, he's just such a phenomenally different looking character and, just scary looking dude. He would fit so well, but obviously not, as the Briscoes say, cosmetically pleasing. The other extent of that is like your Drake Younger, who I think would actually be perfect because he can wrestle very, very well. Not that Necro can't wrestle or Kasai, but actually look more as a normal wrestler and wrestle and compete. And then a feud can be taken to the next level where Drake would take the fucking murder bomb from whatever or wherever because, he's so capable of that stuff. Just one of those guys that's, going to take a feud to the next level on like a WrestleMania moment or something. Not obviously not a every month thing or anything like that. And I've also, for the same type of reasons, always hoped that the hardcore title would come back on WWE TV. Because just some of the things that some of these guys can do on the, from the indie scene, they can be, patched in there. And, a hardcore title was never really anything higher than a mid-card thing anyway. And, it definitely draws in a different audience to see something different. But, the PG, and honestly to me, I don't think PG era is going on anymore. I think we're at least a PG-13 at this point because they're doing a lot more cursing. They're doing some harder hitting stuff. They've they've used the blood a little bit more again. You know, nothing too crazy, but you know, I feel like we're past that. Again, not too far past. I mean, still PG-13. We're not anywhere near an attitude error. We're not taking the, you know, the violence up too high. But I feel like they could start trickling that in little by little. It really wouldn't hurt. But yeah, so there's that. You know, anybody who's listened to the show pretty regularly knows that I hate the fuck out of those e-cigarette things, and I kind of wish terrible things on the people who use them. I actually saw a further extent of those today, and I couldn't be any more sickened. I thought I couldn't be more sickened by the idea of it before, and it seems like they pushed the envelope even more so. What I saw today was they've gone beyond just those little sticks now. They've gone to, like, full-blown, it looks like what you would see on one of those shows with the heroin addicts, and they pull out their little kit. Cross between that and a crack pipe. It definitely looks like some hardcore fucking, someone needs rehab following the shit that they're carrying around with them, like that type of thing. So that's my first initial thing. Like, this person pulled out a little leather case that zipped closed, and it had this long metal, like, probably as long as, like, a pencil. You know, the other ones are, like, short, like a cigarette. Like, some even look like cigarettes. And that's it's contained in that size. This was long, like a pencil, and thicker. It was, like, somewhere in between like a Black and Mild and a cigar, like somewhere in between, like the width of that. So a little bit thicker too, you know what I mean? And it was long and metal, like chrome, like real fucking, you know, sparkly chrome. And then in the middle had this glass piece where you could see through. So that's the part that was like, this shit looks like some kind of crack pipe or something. But again, with like the zip open fucking pouch and shit, I'm like, motherfucker. And then, you know, I learned a little more about these things. And, first off, I get tired of hearing motherfuckers that tell you they quit smoking, but they've been doing those fucking things for a year. Dude, you didn't quit anything, you weak-minded fucking douchebag. Fucking walking around sucking one of those fucking things. Just fucking ridiculous. I can't even put words to, well, I guess I am, but then what I find out that makes it a million times worse, number one, you could adjust your amount of nicotine in there, because by theory, these things are not supposed to be your new fucking habit. They're supposed to be like a way to quit. So you can, like, kind of lower down your nicotine intake through these things until, I guess, eventually you're past it and you don't have any nicotine anymore. And then some people, out of, you know, I guess just inability to quit a habit, that's not something I understand. I understand the parts of, you know, breaking addiction to something when it's actually a substance or it's a dependence. But that's a very, very difficult thing. And believe me, I've done it. So, or at least whatever they call that, in the process of doing it or still doing it. You know, they say you never recover or whatever. You know, on my end, I'm talking alcohol. But, you know, and actually tomorrow's been 12 weeks for me. So that's pretty substantial. But as far as the habit, you know, like when I quit smoking cigarettes probably, fuck, man, it's got to be 7 years, it's 8 years. It's been a while. But, you know, I smoked for 14 years. When I quit, I just quit. That's it. I had a pack and a half of cigarettes, and I just fucking stopped. I just completely stopped. It was affecting my breathing, and I was actually the start of my asthma, but I didn't know that yet. And, you know, I went outside to try to get some air, having a problem breathing as I'm yawning, and, went outside to get air. And first thing I did is lit a cigarette, took a couple steps and a drag or two off of that and went, what am I, a fucking idiot? And I snapped a cigarette, fucking threw it, and I said, fuck this, and never went back. Now, the dependency thing is hard because, you know, it's a drug. So it has a draw on you. But definitely the other part that is very, very difficult as well is the habit part, but it's mental. You know, you're normal, well, I eat, and then I have a cigarette. Well, when I get out of the car, I light a cigarette. When I get into a car, I light a cigarette. After this, after that, before this, before that. It's that habit that is only difficult because it's something that you've done consistently. But the thing is like, well, how would you live without it? Is that impossible? You know, things that you like to do, would you not like to do them if you didn't do that? I mean, you kind of got to break yourself down mentally a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm talking a little out of both sides of my mouth because it is a little bit difficult. But in the same token, I don't understand just doing things where you concede to, well, it's a habit, so I'll probably never break that, so I'll just smoke this forever. So anyway, the more troublesome part that I heard about this today is not only do these mist vapor fucking cigarette things have the nicotine that you adjust, you also adjust the flavor. These things, the liquid you put in there comes in watermelon and bubble gum and all these other things. So my problem here is I feel like this is marketed to children more than anything else. And the nicer you flavor this shit, you're clearly not trying to steer people towards quitting. It's just another fucking huge money scam, fucking, well, you know, money draw. And, you know, corporations just trying to feed off the deaths of people. And I 100% believe that these fucking e-cigarettes will wind up killing fucking millions of people. Millions of people. There's no long-term testing on it. So when these jerk-offs run around sucking these fucking electronic fucking cigarettes, you don't have long-term testing on it. You are taking in nicotine and whatever chemicals that are contributed to making it a mist fucking vapor thing. And then, you know, I don't know. It gives me such a fucking bad feeling, especially now that I hear that they flavored this shit like fucking Italian ices. You know, like, oh, what do I want to smoke today? I think maybe like let's go with a cotton candy fucking nicotine mist. You fucking jerk-offs. Okay, so that's my jag on that. My other thing is I encountered another one of these people with one of my pet peeves is people who feel like wherever you were born, that's you should be supporting only the sports teams closest to where you were born. It's like to a lot of people, it's like an arranged marriage. It's like, you know, your parents have pretty much decided that, you know, you were born here. They could have moved out of state and had your stupid ass. But because you were born here, that's the team that you should support for the rest of your life, completely faithfully. And, you know, for no other reason, but you just happen to be born there. You have no choice in this. You have no choice in the matter. You cannot pick your team. You cannot start your life, you know, grow up and then figure out what you would decide to like, what you would like to follow, what you would want to show interest in. I mean, it can go anything from as you grow up to deciding, hey, I really like this animal, and that's the team mascot. So shit, let me follow that team. Or hey, my favorite color is fucking such and such. You know what? I wouldn't mind fucking wearing that fucking jersey running around and supporting that team for the rest of my life. It's all broken down in a lot of these fucking simple-minded cunts fucking mentalities. It's like, well, I was born here, so I just have to like those forever. Well, you know, how far do you take that? How far do you take that theory? Do you, jersey, for instance, do you only fucking listen to Bruce Springsteen music?
Do you only watch fucking Danny DeVito movies because he's from Jersey? I mean, how far do you take this fucking concept? Do you only eat tomatoes that were grown in New Jersey? Do you only, you know, will you only eat animals that were slaughtered within your state? What exactly, what extent do you take this to? One second. I had to take a sip of that sparkling water. You know, I just, it's such a fucking pet peeve of mine. It's showing no individuality. It's just saying that I was born here, I have to like that, and anybody else who did, you're not. I was told, people, the way it started was this. Someone was telling people, and fucking, I hate the Eagles, so far be it by me to defend any Eagle fans, but it was the thing that tipped me off is because it was about that theory. It wasn't that, you know, I was trying to defend the Eagle fan. I was trying to defend the other side of that bullshit theory. So someone said something about, you know, these people from Jersey who like Eagle fans, like, you don't live in Philadelphia, fucking keep it real, right? To which I responded to this giant fan, you know, well, I mean, I'm a Niner fan, but, what did I say? I said, oh, I'm a Niner fan, but, it's kind of funny that you say, as a giant fan, that, you know, these people should keep it real, because you live in Jersey, but the Giants don't even fucking keep it real as far as that's concerned. More so than any of these fans, because what fucking loyalty should anyone have to said team just because they're from there? Well, I mean, that's, to me, again, it goes back to personal choice. But for a Giant fan to talk about people from other areas saying that they need to keep it real because that's not where they're from. The Giants wear fucking New York on their helmet, and they play in New Jersey. So, as a Giant fan, you have to be partially retarded to tell people that they're not keeping it real if they're representing things from other states, because your fucking team does that, you jerk off. So that's number one. And then, you know, I didn't even get to that. I just more or less, you know, hinted around it. And then, you know, I said, but, you know, I'm not really supporting the Eagles or nothing. I'm a Niner fan. And then, you know, this person got into, well, if you're a Niner fan from Jersey, you're not keeping it real. And, you know, I went a little deeper with the Giant thing and the fucking helmets, and they're not even fucking claiming to be from the state that they play in. So, you know, what the fuck are you talking about? So, you know, when people get all offended or whatever, but it's just, I don't understand that shit. Like, how far do you take it? What do you like and why do you like it? Are you really only into the shit that's closest to you? I mean, is that what it is? Is that really what it is? If everything that's the closest to your house is the coolest fucking thing in the world, then what I really, really would like you all to do, everybody with that theory, the things that are closest to your house are the best thing in the world, go blow your fucking neighbor, all right? Because I've had enough with this fucking theory. I was born in fucking here, so now I have to like them. Well, I wish you were born in fucking Rhode Island and you didn't have any fucking teams. You got depressed and you killed yourself because your theory sucks. Your theory fucking sucks. How about being an adult, figuring out what you like and fucking going for it? If you happen to like your fucking team because you were born in that fucking town or you were born in that fucking state, that makes you fucking happy, go have at it. You know what I mean? But don't shit on other people for liking what teams they like, you fucking assholes. And it's generally the people who have fucking teams that are just eating shit, so then they get mad about why people like the other teams that are not eating shit at the time. It's just the biggest douchebag theory I've ever heard. And I've heard the other side where they get really offended about people from other places liking other teams. And it's just like, dude, I fucking do something with yourself. Like I said, go blow your neighbor. You fucking, you like things close to you so much, you know, go do that. You know, support your local fucking neighbor or something, you know, whatever.
So that's about all I got. Hope everybody enjoyed the show. I'll probably be back Wednesday. As always, I'll let you know. I'll close out the show with another Papoose freestyle, being so irrelevant and doesn't make music anymore. And definitely check out the Sports Den with Nick, Dube, Roy, Christian will be back on there on Wednesday. Check out Stern Nation on Thursday. Wrestling Soup, I believe, will be on tomorrow night. You can check them out. Women Love Wrestling. Check it all out. And instead of close out the show with Papoose, catch you motherfuckers next week. Peace.
You not the king, nigga. I'm the king. Cause I let it ring on the spot. I don't even know why all the mother lanes on your jock. They should stop. Fuck that, mind your business to get shot. Want my spot back cause I
DJ White Owl.
Kill Versace, that's all me. Dreams and nightmares all me. Control, that's all me. Bed-Stuy, Brownsville. Summer Jam, that's all me. Open Letter, that's all me. New York, that's all me. Bed-Stuy, Brownsville.
Wake up, God, you get 86. I broke the rules and they can't be fixed. Keep fucking around, you gon' make me rich. I shoot point-blank range, can't make me violated, ain't afraid of shit. You know how much money I done made with Chris. Desert Eagle might break my wrist. I'm a living legend like Jada Kiss.
Kiss, put it on.
No snitching over on this side. Y'all busted us and we busted y'all. We don't give a fuck if your clique dies. Should I listen to everybody or myself? Cause myself just told me Pat, you the king of the city, the champ. You don't need no belt. Blasting tech, bulletproof across my chest. You just sucking on that breath. You've been breastfed by the press. Media telling the world you the best. I'm the brown skin Malcolm X. By any means necessary, I'm legendary like Malicia. Bash your respect. Look, just understand that them corners cold and get hot as hell. I'm in the streets with all of this shit. And I'm on the road but still popping shells. I caught beef and all of this shit. Ask you to please excuse my blatant grammar. Don't fucking move or I blaze the hammer. Keep the heart like ball playing Atlanta. Run up on your video, shoot, take the camera.
Goddamn. You not the king, nigga, I'm the king. Cause I let it ring.
I let it ring.
I don't even know why all the mother lanes on your jock. They should stop. Fuck that, mind your business to get shot.
Get
my spot back cause I kill Versace, that's all me. Dreams and nightmares, all me. Control, that's all me. Bed-Stuy, Brownsville. Summer Jam, that's all me. Open Letter, that's all me. New York, that's all me. Bed-Stuy, Brownsville.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Kill 'em all. Back on top. Think about it. Fuck Hulk Hogan.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.